Today on Wings, voices from the 16 days of activism against gender violence.
Yes means yes, no means no. Whatever we wear, wherever we go.
I believe Somali women are capable of holding public positions. The men have failed to lead because we have been at war for more than 22 years.
Sorry, mister. These two girls aren't for sale.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service. The idea of 16 days of activism against gender violence originated with the Center for Women's Global Leadership in 1991 and is marked in countries around the world each year. Among many annual activities for the 16 days of activism against gender violence is the sharing of radio programming on the theme via the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters. From South Africa, here's one of several short English-language radio dramas designed to curb sex trafficking.
Woo! Go team!
Yes! 3-2! If they can just keep that lead, we'll be sailing to the semi-final.
Hey, check that guy out.
Ah, he's way too old to be cheering that girl up. Is she even out of high school? Oh, is he coming over here?
No way. What does he want?
Good afternoon, ladies. Mind if I join you?
Okay.
I represent an upscale chain of international restaurant, and we are looking for a well-groomed, outgoing new star for our outlet all over in Africa and Europe. People just like you, in fact.
Oh, yeah?
I don't have a passport.
Not a problem. My associate will arrange everything for you.
Is this guy for real?
I don't know. Remember that woman who came to the community center?
Oh yeah, I still have the t-shirt. What was it? Stop human trafficking or something like that.
This guy sort of sounds like the people she was talking about. It sounds too good to be true. And the way he was chatting up that girl just now.
And saying that I don't need a passport. Yeah, I don't trust him. We should tell her too.
Sorry mister, these two girls aren't for sale. Come on chummy, let's go.
Say no to human trafficking. Find out more about the Red Light Campaign. Visit Southern Africa Network Against Trafficking and Abuse of Children, www.santac.org, or Women and Law in Southern Africa, www.wlsa.org.zm. Together we can end human trafficking.
Canada's National Community Radio newscast Groundwire covered violence against women too during the 16 days.
Yes means yes, no means no. Whatever we wear, wherever we go.
November 21st was the annual Take Back the Night March, hosted by the Concordia Center for Gender Advocacy as part of their A Safer Concordia campaign. The march from Guy Concordia to McGill campus opposes gendered and sexual violence and promotes safe public spaces.
Yes means yes. No means no! Whatever we wear, wherever we go!
What do you want?
Today we march together to attest that we are not afraid. We will see change. After all, safety is a right, not a luxury.
Take Back the Night to me means a space for women and allies to show that they deserve a space in public to be respected and to be admired as human beings.
You can't do that, you can't coerce sex. No, you can only ask. You gotta respect my boundaries. Now don't you give me any sass. You can't coerce sex. No, you can only ask. Cause if I am not into it, you'll look like a humongous ass.
In the past year, Canadian universities have been front and center in the news when it comes to incidences of campus sexual assault. Few Canadian universities have sexual assault policies. School administrations must actively promote consent and support survivors of sexual assault, not the perpetrators, by turning a blind eye. Nearly 1 in 4 women will be sexually assaulted as students, and very little data is available about the experiences of people of other genders when it comes to sexual and gendered violence. We want to take back our campuses and make them safer, but university administrations must also do their jobs.
The police say that a woman shouldn't be taking taxi alone or be drunk. And this is in result to a woman taking her story to the media that a taxi cab driver assaulted her. And that was their response. Do not take a cab by yourself. So we're here to say that, you know, taxis should be a safe place and that there should be no victim blaming. And really need to put the blame back onto the perpetrators.
Solidarité avec les survivants. Solidarité avec les survivants.
Hi, can you tell me what your sign says?
Our sign says Sexual Assault Center in Solidarity. We're here to listen. And then it has our phone number for the Sexual Assault Center of McGill Student Society.
People are talking about sexual assault. Challenging conversations are happening more now than ever before. While gender-based violence and sexual assault have always been major and yet massively neglected issues, many people are learning to recognize and name these two long-ignored abuses for the first time. For those who have been doing this work for years, some of this talk must be almost as frustrating as it is encouraging. Because our energy is not infinite, and explaining endlessly why victim blaming is unacceptable, or why a courtroom might be a living nightmare for a survivor, can become so exhausting that it might feel like we're fighting a fight that can never be won. And for those of us who are new to this work, we are learning that some days it feels like each dawn brings a new variant of the same old, enraging stories. Someone is fired, someone is murdered, a court case is dropped. The word alleged begins to taste sour in our mouths. We look to each other for strength.
Something is changing. Journalists and media sources are paying close attention, contacting us for statements. We must engage in a sustained, collective discussion about how media impacts our work and vice versa. More and more people want to be involved, to learn about supporting the survivors in their lives, and critically, to look inwards at the ideas they've internalized. To be able to say we are fighting violence and oppression, we too must look inwards at our activism and challenge ourselves to build a truly intersectional movement.
Affirmative consent can no longer be publicly treated as an impossible joke, and the dream of a university that takes sexual assault seriously is moving closer to reality. There is, and always has been, backlash. For every step we take forward, there are gigantic forces trying to push us back again. But at least, people are talking about sexual assault.
You've been listening to sounds from the Take Back the Night March, November 21st. The march from Geek Concordia to McGill campus was hosted by the Center for Gender Advocacy as part of their A Safer Concordia campaign.
That story from Canada's Groundwire Community News was produced by Celia Rabinovich of CKUT Community Radio in Montreal. Here's another story from Canada released during the 16 Days Against Gender Violence, one with international ramifications. Megan Murphy reports.
Between 2005 and 2010, the Native Women's Association of Canada, NWAC, documented the disappearances or murders of 582 Aboriginal women and girls over 20 years. But in 2010, the Government of Canada cut NWAC's funding for this project, and they were unable to continue the work. The Canadian Feminist Alliance for International Action, FAFIA, and NWAC requested formal investigations by the UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women and the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights.
International human rights law on the issue of violence against women is really very new and very much in the developmental stages. And so every report of this kind is a part of the new thinking about violence against women, what it is, and in particular, what obligations states have to prevent, prosecute, punish, investigate, and remedy violence against women when it occurs at the hands of private parties as well as at the hands of public actors.
These investigations are the first inquiries by international human rights bodies into violations of the human rights of Aboriginal women and girls in Canada. They will release reports in early 2015. Meanwhile, in Canada, national Aboriginal organizations, women's organizations, human rights organizations, trade unions, faith groups, and individuals have been calling for a national public inquiry into the disappearances, murders, and high rates of violence against Aboriginal women and girls.
If we were to have a national inquiry, it would mean that the government is recognizing that there is a systemic problem happening and there are systemic inequalities in Canada. it would really open up space for us as people of this country to discuss the root causes.
Today on the show, I speak with Sheila Day and Sherry Smiley. Sheila Day is chair of FAFIA's Human Rights Committee, and Sherry Smiley is the campaign coordinator for FAFIA's campaign of solidarity with Aboriginal women.
Now, the RCMP commissioned a study last year on the murders and disappearances of Aboriginal women and girls.
For years, the RCMP said for legal and policy reasons they could not report on victims or perpetrators of violence by race. Once they've been pressed by international experts and treaty bodies, because the mere failure to collect enough information to understand the size of the problem is part of the problem itself, the RCMP finally undertook its own study. And after years of their disputing the numbers that the Native Women's Association of Canada was collecting through the Sisters in Spirit project, the RCMP numbers turned out to be much higher than NWAC's, as NWAC had in fact predicted, because they said, we believe that we have an undercount.
One of the most devastating things about this is that this list of murdered and disappeared women and girls continues to grow every day, every week, every month, every year. Cases aren't being investigated properly. Perpetrators aren't facing any consequences for this.
There has to be a recognition that we have a systemic problem on our hands. This is the reason, I think, why everyone reacted to Stephen Harper's comment about it's not a social phenomenon, it's a crime. What we all understood from that sentence was that Mr. Harper was telling us that each one of these occurrences should be atomized and seen as a separate and distinct crime. While that's absolutely true, it fails to recognize that the violence is a symptom and consequence of profound discrimination in our society on the basis of both sex and race. The call for a national public inquiry, which is now so widespread, comes out of frustration because Aboriginal women, advocacy groups, the Native Women's Association of Canada started 10 years ago saying at that time, look, we have this systemic problem on our hands. Let's have a national action plan. But government's national action plan, which they recently put out, listed what many of us think is not new money, but money that was committed previously, for things like community safety plans, counseling projects for Aboriginal men and boys, perhaps some money for shelters, but it's not clear exactly how much that is. There isn't in that National Action Plan a recognition or any steps to deal with the systemic problems that exist in our policing and justice systems, or poverty and a lack of adequate social programs.
It's so important, as Sheila was saying, that we need perpetrators held accountable. And this goes for, you know, violence against women across the board. It's abysmal, the response that we get, but particularly so for Aboriginal women and girls, and then also looking at mental health and drug and alcohol addiction, all those other things that the government can be putting money into, you know, help Aboriginal women and girls be less vulnerable to violence. But we need to really make sure that Aboriginal women and girls have access to our languages and our cultures. And some of the time, the violence that we're facing is coming from the men in our own communities. So it becomes very difficult then to have access to our languages and cultures if we're living in, you know, a constant state of fear, right? So I think it's really, really important that we have those things, because those are life-affirming and life-giving, to have a sense of who we are and build up our sense of selves.
Cherry Smiley and Sheila Day are activists with the Feminist Alliance for International Action. Megan Murphy produces the podcast Feminist Current. On Wings, you're listening to radio coverage from the 16 Days Against Gender Violence. Next up, excerpts from the United Nations radio program series Women. First, Riet Groenen, chief of UN Women's Ending Violence Against Women project, tells reporter Derek Mbatha why UN headquarters in New York and the Empire State Building were lit up in orange on November 25th.
The color orange has been selected because it's a bright, positive color, and this is representing the Secretary General's campaign, Unite Ending Violence Against Women, and that's representing the future where women and girls don't experience violence anymore.
Now, how serious is the problem of violence against women?
Violence against women is a very serious problem. It's a serious human rights violation. It's happening in every country in the world. It doesn't make a difference whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or not. It's really an experience which many, many women and girls unfortunately experience. The most common form is really intimate partner violence, which is also known as domestic violence. One out of three women in the world experience intimate partner violence as well as sexual violence by non-partners. In addition to this type of violence, quite a lot of women are killed in various countries of the world. We have female genital mutilation, we have sexual violence, we have sexual harassment on the streets, in school, in public areas. At the workplace, we have early and child marriage and many, many different forms of violence, including trafficking of women for sexual exploitation.
Who are the main perpetrators of this violence against women?
The main perpetrator actually is usually the husband or the intimate partner. This actually means that the home, the family place where women live and where they love their husband or their partner, is actually the most dangerous place of women. And that's really very unfortunate. And it's still an area which is very much still considered a private issue, and it's still not really known to the rest of the world.
What impact does the violence against women have on women and girls?
The impact can be very devastating. It has impact on our health, physical, sexual, mental health. You know, women have injuries. Women die. Women also have mental consequences, which can lead to suicide. Of course, it also has impact for the family, the relations. It is affecting the communities as well as the whole country. It has major social economic impact. So it's not only an individual issue. Of course, the fear of violence and the actual experience of violence also means that women are careful to go out, to go on the public places, to actually be fully participating in society, to go to school, to actually work or be a political leader. I mean, there are many ways where women actually feel that experiences of violence or the fear of violence or stalking of cyberbullying is actually impacting and preventing women from being a full participant in society, which is really unacceptable.
Welcome to Women, a feature program from United Nations Radio in New York. I'm Stephanie Kutrix. An annual 16-day campaign to end gender violence was this year very active, picking up momentum as each day passed, according to the leader of the UN's global campaign to end violence against women. Eldiana Sisik explained that from the 25th of November, the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, to the 10th of December, Human Rights Day, the goal was to galvanize action to end violence against women and girls. During these 16 days, people around the world were encouraged to wear the color orange to show their support and involvement.
We could see around the world that large numbers of UN country teams, civil society organizations, celebrities, they got engaged. And the reason why we could see that is because of the orange color, of course. We have managed to reach not just developing countries, but countries like USA, for example, like Canada. We could see around the world that large numbers of UN country teams, civil society organizations, celebrities, they got engaged.
This was launched on the 25th of November. We are 16 days later on the 10th of December. Why 16 days?
25th November is International Day to Eliminate Violence Against Women, and 10th of December is a Human Rights Day, because our message is a message of the human rights violation. So therefore, the 16 days create that space within which we can highlight various forms of harm or places where the violence takes place or constituencies that need to take part in it.
In 2014, we saw the launch of He for She, a movement calling men to participate in creating more gender equality. Do you think that had an effect on this year's 16 days of activism?
I think all of the work, particularly within UN Women, for example, on Beijing Plus 20, on He for She, and on the Unite campaign have kind of come together, and we worked on it to come together. And I think the importance of work of He for She involving men is also building on and connecting with the Secretary General's work on involving men on the issue of violence against women and creating his own network of men leaders to end violence against women.
How long have you been working on this campaign, Unite Against Violence Against Women?
All my life. But specifically on the Secretary General's campaign, I've been here since 2010.
And have you seen changes since 2010? I mean, 4 years later for women?
Yes. And we do have a concrete changes in terms of change of law, in terms of building the services. But of course, that is not to say that the work is finished. There's still a lot to do.
That was Aljana Sisik, the campaign manager of the United Nations Secretary General's campaign, Unite to End Violence Against Women.
Men have failed to govern Somalia properly, so women should be given the opportunity to lead. That's according to a young Somali woman who has been participating in the UN's 16 Days of Activism campaign to end violence against women. The Horn of Africa country has endured more than two decades of political instability and poor governance and continues to battle extremists on its territory. Daniel Dickinson reports.
Women unite in song at a meeting in Mogadishu, the Somali capital. Dressed in orange, the official colour of the UN's Unite to End Violence Against Women campaign, they're here to discuss what role women can play in the future of Somalia. One of the participants is university student Naima Abdullahi Omar.
I believe Somali women are capable of holding public positions. The men have failed to lead because we have been at war for more than 22 years, simply because we gave them all the leadership roles. I would like women to be given an opportunity to lead and also take part in the political process because I believe they can change a lot in Somalia.
After two decades of conflict in the Horn of Africa country, violence of all types has become commonplace. Hibo Abdirizak Yusuf, a student, says the violence has to stop.
One way of reducing gender-based violence against women is by making the people who perpetuate these acts aware that the women they abuse are their mothers, sisters, and spouses. It's important for those who remember that this is even against our culture as Somalis to abuse women, because in our culture, women are meant to be protected. If we increase awareness, then I believe this problem of abuse will also be reduced.
To close our roundup of radio from the 16 Days Against Gender Violence, here's one more radio drama distributed by AMARC, the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters. It was produced by Community Media for Development in South Africa, which is funded by the UN. Please be advised that some content may be triggering for sexual violence survivors.
At home, things were tough. No jobs, no food at home. Things weren't getting any better. So like many others, Chipo said goodbye to her family, ready to take the long road to seek the better opportunities in that big neighbor of a country, which is South Africa.
My brother, I promise to take care of you. I need a job. Since mother and father passed, things have been too tough. I have to go.
Please don't stay long, sister. I'll look after others. I promise.
Chipo hugged her brother tightly. He went with her to the station. They waved at each other through the window as the bus pulled away. But things weren't as easy as Chipo thought they were going to be. It was hard to find a job. Many days she went hungry. She became part of a group that helps people who helps refugees like her. One day, it seemed lucky had changed.
Hello, madam.
Good afternoon, sir. How can I help you?
Not too much. I learned you have some people looking for a job.
Oh, which job are you talking about?
Actually, I need a housemate.
Yes, there is a lady who just arrived not quite long. I can't say. Maybe you like her or not. Just a minute, please. Chipo!
Yes, madam?
Come here, please.
Afternoon, sir.
Afternoon.
Do you like her?
I think so. Thank you, ma. Can I take her? Can she follow me now?
Oh, yes. And she's a good girl.
I can see.
For a time, all was fine. It was hard work, but Chipo didn't mind. Then one day, the woman of the house had just left for the work. Chipo was busy cooking and didn't hear him come up behind her.
Sir, please, what are you doing?
Why are you shaking? Relax. You should understand.
Understand what?
Since the first day I saw you, I know you are special. Let us be together.
No, I can't do that. What about your wife?
Forget about her. You are more special than her.
Please, sir, I'm here to work, to take care of my family. Please, not for this.
Oh, that? I will triple the money my wife gives to you. I promise, just be mine.
I can't, sir. This is not good.
All right, relax. Just think about it. I will be back.
Chibo didn't know what to do. She thought about the suffering at home, her family. They needed her help so much. Chibo cried and cried. Then the day came.
Chibo, come
sir,
here now.
Sir, what is it?
I'm tired of waiting for you. My room now.
You are forcing me to do what I don't want. If it is the money, you can take it. I'm leaving.
You are crazy. I will report you to the police. You don't have papers? You tried to steal my money. I don't have time for all this. Get into my room now.
I never stolen anything. How could you?
I said in my room now.
No.
I said now.
No.
Are you crazy?
No.
I said now.
Yes.
Do you think they will believe you, huh? Get in there now.
No.
Now. No. You tell anyone, your family will never see you again. You will be in prison till the day they are hold. Do I make myself clear?
This went on for weeks. Chibo was too scared to tell anyone. Too scared to leave if she went to prison. Who'd take her for family? Chibo was at the washing line with a woman living next door. Hello, young lady. Look at how you're hanging those trousers. Pull them inside out so the sun doesn't fade them.
Oh, yes, of course. I forgot. Hello.
Oh, are you okay? You look disturbed.
I'm fine.
I've been hearing some noises and shouts. What's going on here? Chipo's hat came out all at once. Is it you? I heard. Oh, but I wasn't sure what to do.
I am. I'm even tired of it.
What's happened? Talk to me. You can trust me. Chibo told the whole story. How scared she was. How she didn't have papers or anyone to turn to. Do you know what to do?
No, please help me.
My daughter works with a woman just like you. There's a place called Tutuzala Care Center that can help you.
No, they will arrest me. I'm too embarrassed. I can't face anyone about this.
I promise they don't care where you are from. And they have special trained people there who know what they are doing. They can get your medical treatment if you need it, help with counseling, and even to open a case if you want.
Is the Tutuzala Care Center near here?
Yes, I know there are 52 around the country, but I don't know where. I'll ask my daughter, and if there isn't one here, the other organization, they'll help provide the same services. Let's just do our research and find out. Come with me right now. Don't cry. I'm going to help you. Everything will be okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Chibo did get the help she needed. Her former boss was arrested and found guilty. It wasn't easy, but Chibo eventually found a job in a shop and worked very, very hard. Her brothers and sisters all managed to finish school. She was so grateful for the help she received. She started helping others, and many women who have been abused can count Chibo among their friends.
Thank you for listening to Wings, and please let not just 16 days a year, but every day of the year, be a day against gender violence and for women's equality. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, writer and activist on women and the gift economy. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden, the Wings series producer. Wings stands for Women's International News Gathering Service.